Welcome to the OrthoClips podcast series, where we're going to discuss the latest hot topics and high-impact papers in orthopedic surgery. I'm your host, Saqib Rahman. Let's get this episode started. We have a good paper today. We're going to be discussing low-intensity pulsed ultrasound versus sham in the treatment of operatively managed scaphoid non-unions, the SNAPU randomized control trial. And this is from the September 4th, 2024 JBJS. And it's an interesting topic. Scaphoid non-unions are a problem. They can lead to scaphoid non-union advanced collapse or SNAC arthritis. And like any non-union surgery, it's not a guaranteed thing. And there's certainly some reason to consider adjunctive treatments to improve your chance of healing when you do a non-union repair. And one of those things you can consider are bone stims, right? Or bone stimulators, or one of them is low-intensity pulsed ultrasound, which has some evidence to support its use, but it's been mixed. There's some evidence not supporting its use also. One of the major papers that the current study cites is the TRUST trial. So this was a trial back that was published in British Medical Journal in 2016. I was actually one of the PIs for our satellite site, and we enrolled patients, so I'm very familiar with the trial. And in that trial, we were looking at tibial fractures and whether or not the low-intensity pulsed ultrasound devices, the bone stimulator devices, accelerated fracture healing and accelerated functional recovery. And the outcomes were that it did not accelerate radiographic healing and failed to improve functional recovery. And the British Medical Journal kind of caught on to this and said that we really shouldn't be recommending this treatment. So fast forward, and in the current paper, they're looking at scaphoid non-unions. And it's a randomized controlled trial. They recruited 142 patients to complete the study. They have a sham group. The patients had a non-union repair and then this adjunctive treatment with the ultrasound versus the sham. Now, what they found was that there was no statistically significant difference in healing. Now, the LIPUS group, to be fair, actually did have a slightly higher union rate of 85.5% versus 75.3% in the sham group, but the results, and they were not statistically significantly different. Therefore, their conclusions essentially were that LIPUS or low intensity pulsed ultrasound had no effect on reducing time to union in patients who underwent non-union repair. So it's an important study, I think, for those of us who use bone stim devices. Again, there's many different applications where you can use this. This was used in a very specific fracture non-union repair. Bone stims are used for non-surgical treatment of fractures. They're used after operative treatment fractures. There's different types of bone stims out there, right? This is a very specific one using low-intensity pulsed ultrasound. There's also an interesting response letter in the JBJS that I think has a lot of interesting food for thought, but maybe we'll let you guys, you two, discuss that a little later in the podcast. And let me just get your guys' general thoughts on the paper. What did you both think?
Okay.
You sent over this SNAPU paper by White and colleagues. It just came out in the September JBJS.
Right.
And you sent over some other related articles, too. It seems like you're really trying to figure out if Fluffy was actually worth it after we've already gone in and fixed those scaphoid non-unions, you know, those tricky ones.
Yeah.
And as we all know, getting those to heal is sometimes feels like watching paint dry.
It really can. And this SNAPU trial, you know, it kind of throws a wrench in things.
It does. It reminds me of that TRUST trial that came out a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, the tibial fracture one.
Exactly. Buss and the team published that in the BMJ back in 2016, and it really kind of shook things up.
Yeah, I remember the over 500 patients, and they found no benefit from LIPUS.
Wow.
It didn't speed up healing. It didn't improve function. It really challenged a lot of the assumptions we had about LIPUS at the time.
Right. And the BMJ even came out with guidelines recommending against using LIPUS for fractures based on those findings.
Yeah. Pretty significant.
Absolutely. So now we've got this SNAPU trial, which, interestingly, was already underway when that TRUST data came out.
Right. Important context.
For sure. So White and the weekend group, they looked at 142 patients with established scaphoid non-unions who had already had surgery.
Okay.
And they randomized them to get either active lipius or sham lipius.
Hmm.
Drum roll, please.
What'd they find?
No difference in time to union.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really makes you wonder if lipius all it's cracked up to be.
It does, right? Now, I know some folks listening are probably thinking, wait a minute, didn't that smaller study by Ricardo show that it did help?
Yeah, good point. And White and his team actually address that directly in the paper.
Okay.
They point out that Ricardo's study just wasn't big enough to reliably detect a difference, even if one existed. Plus, they didn't use CT to confirm union, which, you know, let's be honest, that's the gold standard for scaphoids.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's dig into this SNAPU paper a little bit more. First off, their methods, they included a mix of different surgical techniques, which I thought was pretty smart.
Yeah, for sure. Reflects real-world practice.
Exactly. They used CT scans to assess the healing. They had a blinded expert committee to determine union. All very solid methodology.
Yeah, you can tell they really wanted to minimize bias and make sure their findings were rock solid.
Absolutely. The results, no difference in time to union between the LebUS and the sham groups, like we said. But what I found really interesting is that a decent chunk of the non-unions that did eventually heal took more than 6 months.
Yeah, that's a good point. It brings up that whole concept of delayed union, which honestly probably deserves its own deep dive.
I think so too.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if maybe we need to kind of recalibrate our expectations a bit when it comes to scaphoid healing.
Yeah, I think so. We might need to have some tougher conversations with patients about realistic timelines, even when surgery is done.
Right. And another interesting finding, both the LepiS group and the sham group had good functional outcomes in the long run. So at least it suggests that a delay in union doesn't automatically mean that our patients are going to have problems long term.
That is reassuring to a point. I mean, we know those functional scores don't tell the whole story.
True enough. Okay, so now I want to talk about Crane's response letter to the SNAPU paper.
Okay.
He brought up some really important points, especially about our responsibility as surgeons.
Yeah, he made a pretty strong argument that we need to move away from treatments that just haven't been shown to work. Even if patients are, you know, understandably anxious and want something done.
Yeah. Tough, but true. I mean, how many times have we seen this happen?
Right.
Procedures or treatments become popular only to be debunked later by, you know, good research.
More than we care to admit, probably.
Exactly. And Crean's brought up the elephant in the room.
Yeah, insurance.
Insurance.
Uh-oh.
If we don't start policing ourselves and stop using ineffective treatments, then the insurance companies, they might just step in and start making those decisions for us.
And that's a scenario none of us want.
Definitely not. We need to be the ones leading this charge, not waiting for somebody else to take the reins.
Couldn't agree more.
So big picture, this SNAPU trial combined with that earlier TRUST trial really casts doubt on the effectiveness of LipUS for bone healing.
Yeah.
And this is a treatment that a lot of us have been using for years, and not just for scaphoid, for all kinds of fractures.
Right.
So where do we go from here?
It's a good question. Yeah, it's definitely a shift in thinking for a lot of us.
It is, especially when you consider that LipUS isn't exactly cheap.
Mm.
You know, we're talking about time, resources, and cost for a treatment that may not be doing anything.
Right, and that really highlights the need for, you know, value-based care, making sure we're using treatments that actually have proven benefits and not just adding complexity and expense.
For sure, and I think that really circles back to the importance of shared decision-making.
Yeah.
We need to be having these open and honest conversations with our patients about the evidence or, you know, lack thereof.
Oh, and work together to come up with a treatment plan that, you know, that they feel comfortable with, which is not always easy.
Right.
Especially when patients are understandably, you know, anxious about their non-union and want something, anything to be done.
Right. But, you know, in those situations, I find it helps to emphasize that even without like yellows, a lot of these scaphoid non-unions do eventually heal.
Right.
It might take a little bit longer, but, you know, the SNAPU trial showed that those long-term functional outcomes were generally good for both groups.
Definitely. And I think framing it that way can help alleviate some of that anxiety that patients might have about waiting for that scaphoid to heal.
Okay, so let's switch gears a bit and talk about some specific aspects of the SNAPU paper that I thought were interesting.
Okay.
First off, I thought their methodology was really well done.
Yeah, agreed. White and his team did a great job minimizing bias and making sure that the results were as reliable as possible.
They recruited patients from multiple centers across Canada. They used a double-blinded design, so neither the patients nor the researchers knew who was getting the real LipUS.
Right.
And they had that blinded expert committee that we talked about to determine union based on the CT scan. So very thorough.
Yeah, all those things give us a much higher level of confidence in their findings, I think.
Absolutely. And choosing CT over plain radiographs,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was another really smart move because we know x-rays can be notoriously tricky when it comes to scaphoid fractures.
Absolutely.
So, you know, this study was really well designed and executed, but like any study, it does have its limitations.
Sure.
And White and his team are very upfront about those limitations in their discussion.
One of the limitations that they mentioned was that they had to stop the trial early because of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Oh, right.
So they didn't quite hit their original target sample size, but they still ended up with a very respectable 142 patients.
Which is, you know, much larger than a lot of the previous studies that have been done on LUP-US.
Yeah.
So I think that helps mitigate the impact of having to stop early.
For sure. And they also point out that, you know, even with CT scans pinpointing that exact moment of union can be a little bit subjective. You know, there's some inherent uncertainty in that assessment, which is something we always have to keep in mind when we're interpreting these kinds of studies.
Right. Bone healing is a biological process. It's not just an on-off switch.
Exactly. But even with those limitations, the SNAPU trial really does add to this mounting evidence that questions the effectiveness of LUP-US for bone healing.
And when you combine that with the TRUST trial findings, you know, on tibial fractures, it really starts to paint a pretty clear picture.
Yeah, it's not just one isolated study. It's a trend that, you know, we as clinicians need to start paying attention to and incorporating into our practice.
Absolutely. So what does this mean for our day-to-day management of scaphoid nonunions? How do we reconcile this new evidence with what we've been doing for years?
That's a tough question, and I think it's one that, you know, each surgeon will have to grapple with individually based on, you know, their own experience and their patient population.
I think that's a great point, but I think a good starting point for all of us is to examine our own biases.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we all have them, whether we realize it or not, and they can definitely influence how we interpret and apply the evidence.
It's natural to want to stick with what we're familiar with, what we've always done, especially if, you know, we've seen it work in our own hands.
Exactly.
But we have to be willing to challenge those assumptions and be open to new ways of thinking when the evidence, you know, points us in a different direction.
Absolutely. And that comes back to the responsibility that we have as surgeons to stay up to date on the latest evidence.
Yeah.
To really critically evaluate that evidence and determine how it applies to our patients.
I think that's a key takeaway from this whole deep dive.
I agree. We can't afford to become complacent or, you know, stick our heads in the sand.
Right.
We need to stay informed. We need to be open to new ideas and be willing to adjust our practice when it's necessary.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Now, I know some of you listening might be thinking, okay, so maybe LUP-US isn't the magic bullet we thought it was for scaphoid nonunions. But what about for other types of fractures?
It's a good question, and it deserves further investigation.
The TRUST trial showed no benefit for tibial fractures, and now we have this SNAPU trial showing no benefit for scaphoid nonunions.
Right, so it's starting to look like LUP-US might not be as universally effective as we once believed.
It's possible that there are certain patient populations or fracture types where it might still have a role.
Sure.
But we need more research, more high-quality trials to really get a definitive answer.
And until then, we need to be having those open or honest discussions with our patients about the evolving evidence surrounding LUP-US.
Absolutely. So, you know, I want to circle back to those scaphoid nonunions that seem to take forever to heal, even without LUP-US.
Right.
I'm really intrigued by this whole concept of delayed union.
Yeah, me too. It raises so many questions about, you know, why are some fractures just slower to heal than others?
Right.
Is it the scaphoid itself? Is it the patient's, you know, overall health, the specific fracture pattern?
And remember, in the SNAPU trial, they said about 15% of the nonunions that did eventually heal it took more than 6 months.
Yeah, which is a lot longer than a lot of us would typically wait before considering, you know, some kind of secondary procedure.
Exactly. So how do we identify those patients who might be at risk for a delayed union? Is there some sort of predictor, you know, we could use to kind of guide our treatment decisions?
Ooh, that would be a game changer, wouldn't it?
Right.
If we could predict early on which patients were likely to have a more prolonged healing course, then we could really tailor our management accordingly.
Exactly. We could be more aggressive. Mm. With some patients, maybe consider bone grafting or other interventions sooner.
Right.
And for those who are likely to heal on their own, mm-hmm. we could provide more reassurance and, you know, avoid unnecessary procedures.
It would be a huge step towards personalized medicine for scaphoid nonunions.
Absolutely. And, you know, we don't have all the answers yet. But I think this is a really, really important area for future research.
Absolutely. There's so much we still don't know about, you know, the biological mechanisms of bone healing. But, you know, the more we understand those mechanisms, the better equipped we're going to be to manage these challenging cases.
For sure. You know, one thing that Kren said in his response letter really struck me.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
He was talking about how sometimes we as surgeons feel this pressure to do something, even when the evidence isn't there to support it.
I know exactly what you mean.
You know,
we want to fix things. We want to make things better.
Especially when you have a patient sitting in front of you who's in pain, who's frustrated, who's looking to you for answers.
Right.
It's easy to fall into that trap of thinking that we need to intervene, you know, do a procedure, when sometimes the best course of action is to actually wait and let nature kind of take its course.
It takes humility to acknowledge that sometimes, you know, less is more, and courage to have those difficult conversations with patients.
I think that's such a good point.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, a key takeaway from this whole discussion is that we need to be really thoughtful and really evidence-based in our approach to these scaphoid non-unions.
Definitely, we need to stay informed about the latest research. We need to be willing to question our assumptions and, you know, be open to changing our practice when necessary.
And most importantly, we need to involve our patients in the decision-making process. You know, have honest conversations with them about the risks and benefits of the different treatment options.
Shared decision-making is essential for providing truly patient-centered care.
Well said. So to sum it all up, this deep dive into the SNAPU trial and kind of the broader conversation around LycaVies has given us a lot to think about.
It really has.
It's challenged our assumptions about a treatment that, you know, many of us have been using for years.
Yeah.
And it's highlighted how important it is to, you know, stay current with the evidence.
For sure.
It's also emphasized the need for, you know, personalized medicine and better predictive tools and a more nuanced approach to managing scaphoid non-unions.
Absolutely. We still have a lot to learn, but hopefully this conversation has, you know, at least sparked some ideas and encouraged all of us to be more critical thinkers and, you know, more effective clinicians.
I think so too. So keep those brains engaged, keep asking those tough questions, and keep pushing the boundaries of what we know.
Sounds good. Thanks for joining us, and see you guys all at the next podcast.